And this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I figure that my job on this show is to ask all the dumb questions that I have. I'm sure some of our listeners do too. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention how little I know about my auto insurance policy before we start this next segment. Joining us, attorneys Michael Miller and James McGing, personal injury attorneys from the law firm of Miller McGing. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in here today.
You know, we want to thank you for having us. This is really a privilege. The studio is absolutely gorgeous. And we'd also like to thank the ISBA for putting this on, the Illinois State Bar Association. We think it's a tremendous program, and we're happy to be a part of it today.
Yeah. Pleasure to be here today. Yeah. Thank you.
And Jim, you were a judge for many, many years. I imagine a show like this and others that we have here at WGN Karen Conti tomorrow, the more people, our listeners, can be educated about all sorts of things, the better off we're going to be.
Absolutely. There's great outreach through the courts and through the bar associations, but the more knowledge that's put out there to the public, it's better for them. They can understand their situation, what repercussions are, and what we're going to talk about today is going to hit home with most people.
Boy, so I bought my auto insurance a couple of years ago. I lumped it with home, and I saw that it was going to be cheaper than what I had before, so I signed on the dotted line. Comes out of my checking account every month. I couldn't even tell you how much it is. Michael, do you think that's what most people do?
I think that's what almost everyone does, based on my experience, and that's the biggest mistake you can actually make as a consumer. You'd be surprised at how many situations that I've run into. I've been practicing for 34 years doing exclusively personal injury, where people find themselves involved in a fairly serious accident, and it turns out that the other driver has no insurance or has very little insurance. And one of the things we want to talk about here today a little bit is that Illinois only requires liability insurance in the amount of $25,000 per person and $50,000 per occurrence. That's what's called state minimum insurance. And there's lots of drivers out there cruising around with the $25,000 $50,000 or no insurance at all. So how do you protect yourself?
Right.
And that's what we want to talk about here a little bit today.
Do you think that it's because a lot of people, they know they have to have it legally to drive, so they check that box, and then they just kind of assume, like we all do, optimistically speaking, nothing's ever going to happen to me?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people talk about that they have full coverage, and it's something that they might talk about with their insurance agent or a broker. But full coverage doesn't necessarily mean in the insurance industry what the consumer thinks it is. And they really don't find out until they're in that situation. They've had an accident, and sometimes a serious accident, and then they call us. And that's the first time that they're looking at their what we call the deck page, and they're looking at what their coverage actually is.
So they look at the page that they should have been looking at on day one when they signed it, and now you're looking at it on one of the most stressful days of your life.
Exactly.
So what sorts of insurances are typical out there? You mentioned this minimal insurance. There's a lot of different terms. I think this is why people get lost in the weeds.
Exactly. It's a maze of different terms, and it's actually not that complicated.
Okay.
That's what we want to get out there to your listeners today, John.
Okay.
Because, you know, if they check their policies and they talk to their agents and they're educated about it, they can protect themselves and they can protect their families. So, you know, your typical policy, you know, contains underinsured motorist coverage, uninsured motorist coverage, and medical payment coverage, and liability coverage. And you can also have collision, you know, if you have a fairly late model car, you know, to cover your cost if there's a serious accident and your car is damaged or totaled. Mm-hmm. But the underinsured motorist and the uninsured motorist are the absolute keys, because those protect you, those protect your family in the event that you're involved in a motor vehicle accident with another driver that has no insurance or state minimum insurance. So that sits on top of their insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So what I advise every client that I talk to is to purchase at least $250,000, $500,000 underinsured and uninsured motorist. And that gives you 10 times the protection of the state minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a policy like that, I mean, if you break that out over a year, how much more are you paying on the front end?
That's the thing. It's very inexpensive, and most people don't know that. For several hundred dollars per year, you could increase your coverage by a factor of 10 times. And for a few hundred dollars, you'll sleep better at night.
So I think a lot of people say, I have insurance. That covers my body. That covers what happens to me in my car. Who cares what the other driver has? They may not realize that going forward. So for a couple hundred extra dollars a month, and that's where the relationship with you.
A year.
That's where the relationship with you guys comes in, too, because if I'm in a serious crash, I need a personal injury attorney like you guys to help me on out. You are going to be able to go further if I have better insurance, correct?
Absolutely, especially in terms of what Mike's talking about, the underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. We have numerous situations that we have seen over the course of both of our careers, both as private attorneys and even when I was a judge, where people are severely injured in an accident, but their underinsured coverage or they're uninsured in that situation is insufficient to help them to be made whole again in terms of their damages. And Mike can talk about some of those specific situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a story of a recent case that just illustrates this perfectly.
Well,
I think
we need to hear examples.
Yeah, because
I feel like, again, we're all like, ah, oh, we'll be fine. Not going to happen to me. I'm sure I'm okay.
Exactly. I mean, unfortunately, I represent a woman that was struck by a drunk driver. Mm. It was a third time DUI.
Oh, jeez.
And this particular gentleman had no liability insurance. And unfortunately, her injuries were very serious. She had severe leg fractures, needed an operation. In fact, she had to be airlifted from the scene of the accident to the nearest trauma center. And she had extensive rehabilitation in a rehabilitation center. And we found out, I had to deliver the news to her that the other party had no liability coverage. So I asked her the question. I said, what is your coverage? What is your uninsured motorist coverage? And she looked at the coverage, and it was $25.50 state minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was very, very upset that she had not known, because she thought she was buying full coverage, quote unquote,
right,
when she talked to her agent.
Right.
And so, you know, the message I'd like to deliver to your listeners out here today is that they have the opportunity this weekend to look at what Judge McGing said, the declaration page, to see what the limits are on their uninsured and underinsured, because that's what protects them. And then call their agent this week. Call their agent on Monday and up those limits, because that's how you protect yourself in the event of a – nobody wants to have an accident, but they happen all the time. And when they do, you have to protect yourselves.
And to protect their family members, their loved ones also.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you got to think ahead on these sorts of things. I feel like, you know, we all have our blind spots when it comes to insurance specifically, because, again, we don't assume something's going to happen. What about, like, if I'm like, okay, I may not pay that much for my auto insurance, maybe I don't have the best coverage, but I've got great medical insurance with my employer. I'm good, right?
Not.
Okay.
You know, medical.
You're Mr. Bad News here, today, Michael.
Well, this is all about education, John. Okay,
you're right.
This is all about telling the people of Chicago what they need to know in order to avoid catastrophe and tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the medical insurance is all fine and good, except for there's a few problems with it. One, they have copays. Another, they have deductibles. And then we have the out-of-network situations where you go to a doctor, or you want to go to a doctor that's not in the network of the health insurance plan. So,
or in an emergency, you're taken somewhere where you're not in the plan.
I can tell you about Medevac bills that exceed $40,000 or $50,000 for the helicopter ride. Now, that's a very unusual situation.
Right.
But health insurance carriers do not like paying those.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even exclude things like that. So what I tell my clients is to buy medical pay insurance on their auto policy. And most people have between $1,000 and $5,000 in medical pay insurance. And it is unbelievable that you could get $25,000 or $100,000 for a very small premium.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to look at that as well.
Yeah. We've got to take a quick commercial break here in a moment. But as soon as you guys walked in, I could tell you were old friends. I just didn't realize quite how old a friend you are. We'll get to that and plenty more here on Let's Get Legal. We're talking about auto insurance with personal injury attorneys, Michael Miller and Jim. Do you prefer Jim or James? I forgot to ask you.
Jim is good.
Oh, go Judge, how about?
Yeah.
Judge McGing.
Former judge.
Yeah.
Former judge.
But don't we get to call you Judge your whole life then?
Some people do. It's nice.
And he can still marry people, too. That's the other thing.
I can still marry people.
Oh,
I've done hundreds of weddings. So.
Hundreds?
Hundreds. Hundreds.
You're the go-to guy for people?
A lot of judges do. But, you know, it's a way to give back to people.
Yeah,
but he doesn't charge.
Yeah. You shouldn't have said that on air.
No.
When we give out the phone number or the website, they're going to be calling for other reasons.
No, I do it for people I know.
Yeah.
So.
You guys have a great story, you two together. It was the first day of high school, right?
We met the first day of high school, St. Patrick High School on the northwest side. Shout out to the Shamrocks out there.
There you go.
Shamrocks. And interestingly enough, it was Spanish class, the first, you know, level of Spanish. And there's a lot of last names that start with M, right?
Right.
So Miller, McGing, two rows of M's. And this gentleman sat right next to me in first year of high school on the first day of Spanish class when we became instant friends.
Wow. And that has lasted. I mean, obviously, you guys have done different things for a while, and now your paths have converged.
Right, right. Yeah, we started the law firm back in the early 90s, actually. And then I'll let Jim talk a little bit about his career, so to speak. But he came back to me, which is the most important thing, John. He came back to me in 2019. He couldn't leave me.
Yeah.
So I'll let Jim talk a little bit about what he's done.
Yeah.
So we practiced together, and then I went full-time as a legal counsel for the Cook County Sheriff. And still had my law practice because it was just a civil practice. And then I went on the bench in 2006 as a judge. And I worked in a bunch of different divisions, but I finished my career in the law division. I sat in the jury section hearing these types of cases, personal injury, wrongful death, medical negligence cases. And then I was a supervising judge in the what's called the tax and miscellaneous section of that division. And then I came back in 2019, the end of 2019, I left and came back to practice with Michael, and it's been going well, and people are calling us, and we're helping people, which is the most important thing.
On the northwest side of the city in Edison Park, which is a wonderful neighborhood.
Oh,
if you've never been there, great restaurants, great food, great people, and we're right in downtown Edison Park.
Does your experience, do you think, you know, having sit in those jury boxes, you say, I mean, that must guide a lot about what you do and the advice that you give to people that come to you?
It does. Having done so many jury trials, and then the judge gets to spend a little more time with the jurors than the attorneys once the trial is over. You can't have any conversations with the jurors without the attorneys present during the trial. But afterwards, I would go into the jury room. I would talk with them. They would ask me questions. There were some things they asked for explanations on, but I also saw some of their frustrations sometimes with trials, and if things became repetitive, and sometimes if it was a slow moving trial, they would let me know. And so I knew their frustrations, and it was part of what you did as a judge to try and you know, make sure the jury is your priority and that you're moving the case along, and that the attorneys are moving their witnesses and the evidence along also.
Yeah. It's important. You know, I just would want experienced folks like you that have that courtroom experience on both sides of it. I think that just sort of helps, because at the end of the day, you guys are just trying to help some people on their worst days or their worst circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty much what we see. And, you know, my mother always taught me, you take a bad situation, you try to make the best you can out of it.
Yeah.
And you're trying to turn something bad into something, you know, at least, if not good, you know, reasonable. And that's what we like to think we do for, you know, victims of personal injury accidents. You know, we find them in a state where it's, like you said, John, the worst day of their life. And we try to guide them from that day to the end result. And sometimes that journey takes many years, and sometimes it's not so long. But, you know, we like to know that, like them to know that we care about what happens to them.
Right.
And we care about their case, and we want to get the best result.
As we were talking about at the beginning of the segment about auto insurance and having the right coverage, I just want to make sure we hammer this point home. Because the auto insurance that I have, if something happens, it doesn't just help my bottom dollar in that certain things are covered or not. It can help me when I come and talk to you guys to a huge factor. I mean, it makes a gigantic difference for just a couple extra $100 a year, right?
It is night and day, John. You're exactly right. You know, if someone gets involved in an accident where there's little or no insurance, and then they have little or no insurance, there's very little we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the problem. And so they can help themselves by checking their, what's called, like Judge McGing said, their declaration page this weekend, see what kind of coverage they have, call their agent and tell them that they want at least $250,500. They also sell $100,000, $300,000, which I used to recommend in the old days, but things are so expensive now. Medical bills, child, you know, care. I now recommending for the past 5 or 10 years, $250,500.
So you just call your agent and you say, I want $250,500, and they'll know what that means.
They'll exactly know what that means.
They will.
And,
okay.
And they want it across the board.
If you can notice, I'm writing detailed notes right now.
You see that.
For my call on Monday, and I imagine a lot of listeners will. Right. And liability, right?
Well, when you buy the liability $250,500, then you're also going to buy the uninsured and motorist and the underinsured motorist. So it's across the board, $250,500. And that's pretty adequate protection for most situations.
Mm-hmm.
There are other types of insurance, you know, umbrella policies that are good for high net worth individuals or business owners. And as the name implies, an umbrella policy sits on top of your auto policy and your homeowner's policy and can provide coverage up to $1 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good to get. And again, they're not very expensive. And so it's something, you know, if you're a high net worth individual, if you're a business owner, or if you're just concerned about your assets, even if you're not a high net worth individual, get an umbrella policy. But they generally require that you have $250,500 underlying limits already.
Okay.
But it's something else to ask your insurance agent about.
Yeah. All right. Last half hour, I learned the difference between a will and a trust. I see a lot in my notes. Liens.
Oh.
It's a word I hear all the time, and I pretend like I know what it is, but I don't. So one of you take a good swing at this one.
Mike can start, and then I'll
start, and I'll let him finish, because that's the way things usually work with us.
Right.
Okay. The judge always gets the last word in every courtroom,
exactly.
So, you know, liens on personal injury cases are something that you really need the help of an experienced attorney to deal with. Because some people think that, okay, my case is settled with the insurance company, everything's all good. But then they realize the insurance company has, quote unquote, liens on the file. And liens can take so many different forms, and there's been an enormous explosion of the types of liens that can be put on a personal injury case in the last 25 years. You have doctor's liens. You have hospital liens. You have public aid liens. You have Medicare super liens.
Is this money owed to someone?
It's money that's owed back to people because of the medical bills that were incurred in the case.
Okay.
And who paid them. The other liens that we typically deal with are called insurance subrogation liens, where a health insurance carrier, like you talked about earlier, John, you know, they pay your medical bills or part of your medical bills. They've got their hand out at the end, and they want their money back from your settlement. And so that gets very complex. And in order to get the optimum amount of money for the client at the end, we have to battle the lien holders.
Okay.
And that's something that I've been doing very successfully for the past 34 years. But what's interesting is that it's even more important now than it ever was, because there's more liens, it's more complex. We've got books devoted to liens and seminars devoted to liens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's become a real, I say now, the case begins when it ends.
And when you say battle, you mean try and either negotiate or challenge certain liens as they're not legit or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, John. I mean, good old-fashioned negotiation is probably the best thing, okay? That's always, usually the best thing is the oldest thing and the thing the most comfortable to you. But we also have very powerful laws in Illinois. We have a law called the Healthcare Services Act. Lien Act, and that actually helps us, compress these liens into a portion of the settlement,
mm-hmm.
so that our clients can benefit. I mean, we do this for the people, the clients.
Right.
We don't do it for the lien holders. We understand they have to get paid, but we don't do this for them. We do this for our clients.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anyone generally in the public thinks about that if you have health insurance and it pays for your hospital bills and your doctor bills and maybe your rehab after a serious accident, that they're going to come back and seek reimbursement for what they paid. Your health insurance company often has a lien on your settlement for those monies back. So it's complicated, and that's why people need to reach out to an attorney. It's what we do every day. It's part of what we do for our clients.
I couldn't pass the LSAT, but I'm getting closer, gentlemen. Thanks so much. Judge, I want really quickly before we go, I just want to give a shout-out. Your son, a lifelong Blackhawks fan,
yes.
And he now what? He just had some good news come his way.
Well, he grew up... My kids are all from the city of Chicago, grew up here. I had three sons who played college hockey, one at the University of Illinois, one at Arizona State, and the youngest one played at Western Michigan. He was captain, and last year was a first-team All-American. He was drafted by, the St. Louis Blues in 2018, and signed with them last year when their playoffs were canceled.
Uh-huh.
And this year, you know, they had their camp in January, and then he was assigned to the American Hockey League, the AHL. So this year, the Blues and Vancouver, the Vancouver Canucks, shared a team in Utica, New York. So yeah. He was out in New York. It was a rough season. In the middle of the season, 5 weeks they were off because of players, you know, having COVID. And he'll be heading back to St. Louis in September for their development camp and then their NHL camp.
Well, we wish him well, even if he's part of the Blues organization. Gentlemen, a real pleasure chatting with you guys. MillerMcGing.com is a great place to go. MillerMcGing.com. I see a phone number here, 773-467-8000 for people to reach you. Guys, it's great to get to know you, and thanks for helping folks out and for educating our listeners.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
We appreciate it.